2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse, it says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Of what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel.' Absalom said unto him, 'See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee.' Absalom said, 'Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice.' And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." I'm going to preach on this thought. We need to guard our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We love you. We'll never be able to show our appreciation any greater than coming to your house and holding your name above every name and worshiping you in spirit and truth. And Father, where we thank you so much for the praise that's already been offered and the prayers as well. We thank you for your presence. That's the most important part. Father, I pray that you won't have me do this alone. I know that. I trust, Lord, as I stand behind your sacred desk, that you'll empty me of self and you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's somebody here that needs to be saved, oh, would you please save them before it's too late? And Father, I know there are hearts that need to be encouraged, and I trust that you'll do that just now. We ask these things confidently in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Thank you for reverencing God's word and standing. The Proverb 4:23 would say that we need to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I believe when Solomon would write that, he knows that he's writing to some good people, God's people, because I got issues. You don't have to agree with me too quick on that, but I do have issues. And we all have issues of life. And if it all comes from matters of the heart, that means it's what's dearest to us. The matters of life that we need to guard are the things that mean the most to us. Our heart is what displays our affection, our allegiance, our loyalty. Our heart is what shows our desire. I've heard many speak on, "Show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is." Because where we spend our money is what we truly love. Where you spend your time, it's what you truly love. The things that we invest in will show what our heart is. I thought I know a father's love because I have children. But I look and I see how love has been expanded even more so when I look at my dad when he looks on his grandkids. And as we get older, it seems like love expands. Love gets broader. Our hearts get softer. But it's all pointed in the direction of where our affection is. Here today, we show up here on a Sunday morning expressing our heart in song. We're singing to a righteous God who loves us, who loved us so much. He sent Jesus to die for us, and that's done something to us. It's now caused us, according to the Word of God, we can now love Him because He first loved us. And I want us to understand how significant the Scripture would be in this matter of the heart. We have to guard our heart. Here in the Scripture, we see a great parallel of Absalom, who's David's son, and not to try to downplay this or make you think I don't think you know the Bible. However, some folks aren't as studied as others, and some folks don't understand who Absalom is. He's David's son. And truly, more than likely, had he have held his place and bid some time, he probably would have been the successor to the throne. If he'd have just waited patiently, he probably had a good chance at it. But he didn't. You know, we could take a lesson right there and say, you know, God's still in control. He still has a plan. And maybe if just we'd just be a little bit patient, we'd get what we got coming to us. But I also know I'm looking at a lot of folks that's just like Absalom. We ain't real patient. Sometimes we feel like we got to go get what we want. But let's not compare you to Absalom. Let's go ahead and put him in his right place. This is a great comparison to the devil. See, as we see here, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. By very definition of it alone, the elements of the crime are there. He took that which did not belong to him. It's a problem when God's people have their hearts stolen. Because when their hearts are stolen, then that means they are not who they're supposed to be. More importantly, that means they're not doing what they ought to do. They're not where they're supposed to be. They sure ain't speaking like they ought to. But even most importantly, they're not giving reverence to the true King who actually owns their heart. So I look at the scripture and I see this is a great parallel to what the devil does. And I look into the scripture and I see, man, ain't this the truth? He ain't trying to be God. He's trying to be like God. Absalom ain't trying to be the king. He's trying to be like the king. See, the devil hates us. Folks are confused in this world. They think that the devil is this ugly little thing with a pitchfork and horns and a tail. And if he was so ugly and nasty, everybody would run from him. But he's not. He's the best looking guy on the football team in school. He's the prettiest cheerleader, right? Come on. Hey, he's the great action in Hollywood. I work on a SWAT team, so of course, I always get this question. Hey, I watched that show SWAT. I love how that starts. Hey, I watched that TV show SWAT. And I'm like, here goes. Is it really like this? And you're like, no, it's not. You know what? It's all dramatized. It's dramatized. The devil wants to put on this big show. Because the truth is ugly. The reality of who he is and what he has for you is pain, it's sorrow, and ultimately, the wages of sin is death. So, he's not going to win anybody to hell. He's got to make sure he's got their attention somewhere else. Absalom does this also, first in his presentation. It shows up, he has this great royal entrance. It says he shows up in these chariots and all these horses. 50 men go before him whenever he shows up. I think he learned that from watching the king. See, the devil knows how to play our hearts. He knows how to find, he knows exactly how to get right to where you are. And listen, he knows this much is true. We love a good show. Hey, it's just the way it is. Listen, presentation is key. He knows that, man, if I can just get their attention for a second and distract them for a second, and especially if I come off as this great, mighty thing, they're going to start believing it because just like with food, you eat with your eyes first. Now, I don't subscribe to that. I eat everything. They try everything on me. We set a meal for a funeral the other day, Brother Jim Stortz. Praise the Lord, he's in heaven now. We set a meal for him the other day. And one of the ladies, who may not be that good a cook, because she remains anonymous. And now listen, everybody labels their pots and pans unless they don't know how it tastes. Right? You know what I mean? Right. So look, there's this thing in a pan on some parchment paper. I swear this is true. It looks like pink fudge has been pressed down. Pink fudge, that's the best way I can describe it. Almost like icing. It's been pressed down in this parchment paper. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this? So the ladies are like, how do we set this up for display? Because if you just leave it the way it is, the dogs may not touch it. So, of course, the ladies in the church, they know me quite well. They say, Pastor, come here and try this. Hey, tell us if it's any good. And I said, I'm a terrible judge of what's good. I eat anything. You ever heard of dandelion salads? I've eaten dandelions in the yard. But you want my judgment on whether or not the pink gruel is worth eating? I tried it. I thought it tasted good. But then they asked me, you think anybody else will like it? I said, no. So I took you home. Hey, man. Lord of mercy. I'm a Marine, you know. I eat anything. Shoot. But hey, he knows. That's what we are, man. And listen, they went ahead and set it out. I didn't see anybody touch it. Honestly, it ended up getting thrown away. I didn't take it home. I was just kidding. That wasn't a lie. I was joking. I don't lie in the church. Right? I don't lie in church. I won't do it. All right. I was just kidding. But listen, this is what we do. We size everything up with our eyeballs. Now, here's the bottom line. Now, I don't know if you watched the scene what the president did with Independence Day celebration. Boy, he put it on. He put it on right. Boy, and them flyovers and all that stuff. Everybody's so impressed by these jets that fly over. Them F-18s and Tomcats. And they go down real low and it rattles. They're like, man, Jason, you'd have loved it. We was at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base the other day. They were doing this flyby. And they were so low that the bleachers were shaking. Man. Just, I wish you could have experienced. And I said, well, I have. Only it's followed up with a. And I said, trust me, that's way better. It is, I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. It's awesome. I'm in the Old Testament. I'm feeling Old Testament, you know. But it's true. It's a presentation. He shows up. He has this great royal entrance. He's grabbing the attention immediately. Well, that's what the devil does. If he can just dangle that carrot in front of him for a moment. You got to understand, if the devil or any sinful situation just immediately appears, you're not just going to hop in bed. You're not just going to throw down that drink. You're not just going to smoke that thing. You're not just going to go to that place. Not immediately. He's got to ease you into that situation. Now listen, I'm preaching to Christians, but now listen, if you're here and you're lost, you don't understand it. You don't understand this. He can't steal what he's already got. Because if you ain't been saved, you ain't under that hedge of protection of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I'd tell you right now, you ought to run to an altar. There was a good opportunity when they were singing that song about grace, how the mountain's higher and how the road on the side is even steeper than when we thought. I'm going to tell you right now, you have no idea until you finally feel the love of Jesus Christ. You have no idea how important it is to absolutely, with your life, defend your heart. So Christians, I'm talking to you. Lost, you get on us too if you'd like. Because he's got you. Praise the Lord, you show up to church. Hallelujah, that's a start. That's a start. And hey, hopefully God's presence and his conviction power is working and softening your hard heart right now. That it'll cause you to come and repent of your sins and be saved before it's too late. Oh, praise the Lord. He does this with his presentation. You got to understand, I got to stay on this point because it's so important. It's the first line of defense. Is your eyes. It's the first line of defense. It's seeing it as it's starting to happen. Now, there's this old saying, it looks too good to be true. Guess what? It is. Fellas, you ain't that good looking for that woman. And women, sorry. Same thing. It's true. Every now and then, a mutt like me gets lucky with a woman like Abby, my wife. I do. I got lucky. Praise the Lord. I got blessed, really blessed. Praise the Lord. But hey, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. So here he comes with this great presentation, but not just in his royal entrance, he rises early. Folks show up here at church, and you think, man, I just got to get to the refuge, and praise the Lord, it is. Ain't you glad the sanctuary is a safe place? This is my refuge, hallelujah. But I want you to understand, the adversary got here before you did. He right, hey, listen, they got me a hotel room. Cal set me up over at Holiday Inn, great place. I spent the night there before. Awesome. Right beside the river, I could see God's country across the river. It was beautiful. I actually took a drive over there. I told Cal, I drove over. I said, I just want to take it in for a minute. Plus, I wanted to stop by that fireworks store. But they were closed at 7:30 this morning. Well, Jason, what was you up at 7:30 this morning for? Well, they had the fire alarm going off about 5:45. And it works. It worked again at 6:30. And at 7. They shut down the elevators. The good thing for me, though, is I was on the top floor. Yeah, that's sarcasm. So, my goodness. Here's what's crazy, though. I told this to my wife before I got over. I had to call her from McDonald's down here before Rosemount Hill, because as soon as I get over here, God knows what he's doing right here. Because as soon as you get here, no cell service. Very strategic. You found that place, Kyle. There'll not be no Verizon phones going off in here. Now, I don't know about T-Mobile and Sprint, but Verizon, Negahachi, ain't happening. So I called my wife and I told her, it's amazing now, when I got there at the hotel last night, there's a little place there called Oscar's. Anybody know where that is? Hopefully because it's the restaurant. Nah. They serve drinks there. So listen, it was packed. The place was packed. Harleys and stuff parked up front. And I thought, all right, kind of cool. Got a chance of maybe getting in a fight. This might be all right. We'll see. I'm kidding. Lightweight. So, kind of. But listen, I see this big giant crowd there. And I'm thinking, man, this hotel's full. I go inside. There's kids all over the place, bunch of young girls, parents, all wearing their ball uniforms and all that stuff. I really thought, I got blessed this morning. I got up and I saw all of these kids up early. And I was like, awesome, Sunday morning, all these people from out of town going to church at Rubyville, this is going to be great. They're going to a ball field over in Wheelersburg. I know that because they couldn't wait to tell everybody that they sing. They're fooled now. They're fooled. I'm going to tell you what happened to those folks right there. If any one of them claimed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today, they got their heart stole. Oh, it's just one Sunday. Right. It starts with one day. He just wants one day. If he can get your attention for a moment, that moment will lead to a minute. That minute will go on to about an hour. Next thing you know, he's got you romanticizing that moment. He's got you romanticizing that hour till he stretched it out to a day, till maybe, just maybe, he'll get 2 days out of you. And you know what? I believe he's satisfied. He ain't got to get two in a row. He'll take one here and there. Because eventually, you got to understand, he can't get you to turn your back on Jesus like that. He knows he's got to work on you a little bit. But you know where it starts. I was amazed. When the alarm's going off, it's loud, and it's also coupled with this bright white light. I took a pair of my pants. I have ingenuity all through me. Right beside the light is a picture frame that's kind of like bolted in, because in case somebody might want to steal a picture from a hotel, whatever. Right, like it's a Picasso. I take my pants, I put it over the light, and I tuck it in behind the picture frame. And you couldn't see that light no more. So I'm like, I'm going back to sleep. And then the hotel was like, joke's on you, Jason. Did it again. I thought, all right, I'm up. But this is what was so amazing. I made my way down the stairs, 5 flights worth, all the way down the steps to come out. Knowing that this hotel is full, there might have been 12 of us down there. The fire department shows up. Now, I'm going to be honest, I had a little moment right here. Lord, forgive me for this. I thought, boy, I hope there's a fire. Because if I come down here and there ain't no fire, And all them people are up there in their rooms. Listen, it's more than an alarm. It's right there in their face. Bloop, bloop, bloop. But they needed more than that. Me, I'm a little paranoid anyway. So when it went off, man's socks, pants, shirt, grabbed the weapons, threw it in my bag, went downstairs because I didn't leave them in the car. Weapons, that's right. Huh. You ain't going to catch me without two guns. Throw my bag, and I go downstairs, nobody else down there, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm glad I ain't the only one that said it. I'm just the only one that said it without cussing. Where is everybody? I sure hope there ain't a real fire. These people are going to burn up. All these kids in here and everything else. Which kids can sleep through anything. Ain't that the truth? They know. Lord have mercy. They'll sleep through the rapture if they ain't care. I'm glad Jesus is in charge of that. He'll quicken your mortal bodies. Praise the Lord. If not, they'd miss it all. My goodness. Hey, where was I? I'm kidding. I'm down there. I'm thinking, where in the world is everybody? And here's the bottom line. If you ain't got a trained mind and a real true belief that there is a real threat, you're not going to see the warnings. You're not going to see it. And these folks that is coming into town, understand, not only is he got this royal entrance and this, and he rises early, he recognizes emotion. You think that you're going to hide your feelings from the devil? See, he's not omniscient. He does not know all things. He is not omnipresent. He can't read your mind. You think, boy, the devil's in my head. Well, that's because you're letting it happen. He'll put thoughts in your head. You sure? You sure? Because maybe he's just putting something in front of your eyes and you're putting it in your head. What's worse is you won't spit it out of your head. You want to keep it in there and roll around for a little bit. But you know who he don't come after on the regular? Folks with a smile. Folks that's got this presentation. Oh, you got a presentation, devil? So do I. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. He recognizes emotion. Listen, when he shows up, now you got to understand, he's in the place to intercept people that's on their way in to see the king. Listen, not on the way out of seeing the king. Folks, I'll tell you right now, when you come to the house of God and you endure a service and you walk back out no better than when you got there, he'll see that. But it ought to be that every single one of us, by the grace of God, comes into his house, praises his name, worships him in spirit and truth, hears the rightly divided word of God, gets a blessing out of it, unloads some care, unloads some burden, maybe pass a burden off to a brother or sister, somehow get stirred up and excited in the Lord that when you leave, the devil sees your face and says, not him, man, not him. See that face and say, well, not you. I can't do nothing with you. But if you come in here all sad and gloomy and heartbroken, hey, listen now, you got issues. We all do. But you got to ask yourself, are you going to push on past and get to the real king? Or are you going to take the fake king? He's fake. He ain't real. The real king is Jesus. The real answers come from him. The real help comes from Jesus Christ. Everything else, hey, listen, it falls short because it's not real. It might hold you for a moment. It might appease you for a moment. The things that we ingest, the things that we put inside us, the things that we occupy our minds with, it will be for a moment. But that moment will pass. And next thing you know, you're right back where you started. Jesus, however, cast it as far as the east is to the west. He will hide it. A multitude of sin. Praise the Lord. So that nobody can see your sin anymore. Chooses never to see it against you again. Hallelujah. Listen now. He catches them coming in. That's what he's done. He catches them coming in. Look what it says here in the scripture. He rose up early, stood beside the way of the gate. It was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, Absalom called on him and said, "Of what city art thou?" He tries to act like he cares about you. You know what? You say, "I ain't never felt like that." Nope. But here's what you felt. You felt, "Well, Pastor Cal just don't care about me." That's another way of saying, "But he does." The church folks, they don't care about me. You ever had a bad day? Made sure everybody knew it, probably on Facebook. And you never heard back from the church people? Now, what's sad is if you ain't heard back from church people on Facebook, something's wrong. Because that's the only way visitation gets done anymore. Woo! Hey, they liked me for a second. Now they're like, "Oh, hold on a second. His jokes ain't so funny after all." But hey, that's what happens. You show up here. Now listen, folks coming to the king are getting the final judgment. That's the thing. Folks with these kind of problems means that the elders and the daysmen, they couldn't get it done. So if they're going to go all the way to the king, it's final judgment. And here's maybe the reason why folks are hesitant to go to the king and glad to find that fellow outside the gate, because they might get an answer they don't want. May very well be the king says, "That's no good for you. Get rid of it. Don't go there. Don't see him. Don't see her." That's a possibility, is it not? Maybe you'd just rather have the alternative because the alternative is better for your way of life. He said, "See, your matters are good." Let me tell you right now, he will not turn you away. Jesus Christ, this is like the song sang when the boys were singing. "Guy got real deep with that bass." He said yes. Jesus always says yes. But you know who else always says yes? The devil. He ain't going to tell you no. "Oh, your matters are good." And here's what, he ain't saying that the king don't have the answer here. You do realize the devil, even being the father of lies, he don't like hanging out in lies in front of righteous, godly, holy people that can see the difference. Instead, he'd rather just skirt right along the truth. Right? Like, "Hey, you could probably drink one. Hey, the scripture says a little wine is good for the belly." Any of you all using that excuse? I punch in your belly. That's pathetic. That is so pathetic. That's so pathetic. That is absolutely such a perversion of the word of God. "I broke my left hand, but my right hand's still good. My last two knockdowns was with my right hand. I'm proud of that." He starts making all these promises. He ain't going to turn nobody away. "You got a good matter. Oh, but if there was just somebody who could hear you." You know, all he's trying to say is, "God's busy. But I'm not." He can't be everywhere, but you know, he's got a whole lot of unclean spirits traveling all over this world. All these little demons, all these little spirits running around, glad to hear your sad story. And they're going to help you out because they're going to say, "I'll tell you what, first of all, we ain't ready to fix the problem, but let's treat some of the symptoms." Let's take some pain away first. Try this. Come on. You know that's the truth. I know good, godly people. All of a sudden, "Oh, my back hurts. I'm going to need some pills." Because they just needed some treatment for the symptoms. "Yeah, God, I know you're going to heal my pains. But in the meantime, I'm going to need some of the devil's treatment for the symptoms." Hello? Now, before I go put myself in a hole I can't get myself out of, let's recognize a real need for certain things. Come on now. When I come out of that surgery, I'm Jason Mead. I don't need nothing. I come out of surgery and I'm like, "You got to do something for me." My mama would tell me it's too far from my heart to kill me, but I don't want to take the chance. I'm hurting. So look, I get it. Hey, I get it. But I'll tell you right now, if it's just because the last time you did it, it kind of clouded your head a little bit and you just liked how you felt. Don't kid yourself. And I know who you think you are. That ain't me. That ain't me. Inside down deep, it is you. You got to be careful with that right there. Boy, you better be careful with that right there. I got so many points to go through because I'd probably wrap it up right now. Some of you are hoping I am. I'm going to. He said, moreover, I would make judge in this land. Every man hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I'd do him justice. You know what happens here? He then switches to his position. He now is taking the position of the king of the life. Now, all of a sudden, what's happening is he does some things that just don't make no sense. It don't make no sense at all in relation to a serving subject of the king in relation to the king, because look what he does here. He says it was when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, which means by definition, who would come to him now and bow to him, treating him like the king. They would bow before him. Look, you know what a king does? The king leaves you there while you're bowing because you're in the right place. You're bowing at the king's feet where you're supposed to be. But not a fake. A fake don't follow order. A fake don't follow the rules. A fake don't do it the way it's supposed to be, and it sure ain't ever going to be righteous. Here's what the fake does. Look what he does. He says, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. I'm going to tell you right now, the problem in our society is that we're waiting for somebody to kiss us. Somebody owes me a big kiss. Let me explain that. Somebody owes me something. They need to take care of me. Where's my payday? Where's my handout? And they believe that because they have went to a fake king. When the truth is, a real true servant of God is, God, what more can I do for you? I come to the king with problems. You say, hold on, I thought we needed some help with problems. That's correct. But because I know he'll give me what I need, it causes me to want to do that much more for him. And you know what? If he ain't never done nothing else for me the rest of my life, since he saved me, that's good enough. That's good enough. I'm glad I'm in a place in my life where I can say that right there. A brand new child of God is the closest, a brand new child of God is the closest thing we'll see to a real true seasoned Christian. Why? Because it's so fresh. It's so fresh in their life. One that immediately gets saved is on fire for the Lord. I'm talking one who really got it. Is that blabbermouth. Can't help but go tell somebody. Probably said, you know what, I'm going to go to school. I ain't going to tell nobody. Next thing you know, they're like, I got to tell you what happened on Sunday. That's that blabbermouth that goes to work and says, you know what? I'm just going to live my life. Next thing you know, somebody says, what are you whistling when you're singing? Whistling, how great thou art. Well, let me tell you, I'm whistling, how great thou art because I got saved on Sunday. Somebody who really got it can't keep from going and telling it. Just like. And you know why? Because they just got delivered out of hell. Now they know they're going to heaven. Just like the one who's mature, the one who is aged, the one who's seen some seasons, the one who's been through some battles, especially those that are elderly now, the ones that are closer to heaven. They're the ones you can't get to shove. They're telling everybody about Jesus. And then every now and then you'll find some nut that's somewhere in the middle that just went full-blown fanatical with it. And it's all because I have done so many terrible things in my life. Yet he loves me. He forgave me. He keeps me. He blesses me all in spite of me. So that's enough where I'll just keep acting crazy about Jesus Christ. He'll steal your hearts. He'll steal your hearts. He can't steal it for good. He can't. He can't steal it for God. Hey, look, God, he can steal it for a day, and he won. He steals it for a week or a year. There's folks that's gone and ran from the Lord for a decade or longer, and we prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally they came back. But here's my fear. What if in that moment, while your heart's been stolen, what if God wraps things up? What if it wraps it up? Oh, hold on, preacher. You ain't talking about backsliding. Yo, yeah, I sure am. I sure am. God's anointing all over somebody one day, just like Saul, his blessing will be removed. I don't know why folks think that they're so special. They just go and do whatever they want to do outside of the will of God. And God's just going to shower blessings anyways. You can't find that in the Word. You cannot find that in the Bible. I don't know why folks think they can just go on, just show up to church whenever they feel like it. You can't find that in the Bible. The first day of the week early came the ladies. They found Jesus. And they ain't never been the same since. They went and they told the preachers and the disciples. They got together. They all came together a lot like this. Next thing you know, when they were together, anticipating, waiting on the Lord, he showed up. They loved it so much that it says a few days later, Thomas got a little upset because he wasn't with the boys when it happened. So he decided, you know what? I'm going to stay with them just in case Jesus shows up again. And I'm inclined to believe it was that midweek service, Jesus showed up again. So you say, well, why do we got to go Sunday morning, Sunday night? Well, on the first day, he showed up in the morning and the evening. Hallelujah. Well, why do we got to show up on a midweek service? Because you may be like Thomas and you missed him on Sunday. But you know what they did every time after that? Every time they get together, when they tarried in the upper room, every time they got together, Jesus showed up. Just like today, those of you that have already met the King and found him, and he received you. Listen, he found you when you were lost. You have to find him afterwards. I'm glad I can still find him in his house. Those of you that came today and found the King receiving you, hearing you, ain't you glad that you made it to the King instead of the fake? And there's folks right here now that can start their day the right way with the King.